Jesus, King of Kings. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Glory to God. We're going to continue. Praise God. We're looking at the unsearchable riches of Christ. Glory to God. We're looking at Ephesians 3, if you remember. Chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. Paul testifying here. Chapter 3 of Ephesians and verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. We'll look at the rest, praise the Lord, as the Lord leads on. Looking at the unsearchable riches of Christ. Glory to God. Now, again, we were looking at the relationship between Scripture, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and the person, Jesus himself. Paul's special revelation. Special revelation. What man needs to get saved? A lot of people are saying, if only Jesus would appear to me. If only I could hear the audible voice of God. Why can't I see angels like they did in the Old Testament? And we've started to look, we've begun the last few weeks to look at, praise God, we've started in the last few weeks to look at the relationship between these direct, what we call direct revelation, and the written revelation, which is Scripture. So I want to go, as we do, we kind of go stage by stage even deeper into it. And you know, there are some that have had these great miracles and visions and even theophanies, but they still don't believe. Yeah. Even in Jesus' generation, even in his own, came to his own. It was a judicial blinding by God, yes, but nonetheless, God still charged them. They still had the choice. Jesus still said, you know, the one standing in your midst, this is, you know, I am he. And well, that was his death sentence, but he was still inviting them. It was still a genuine invitation for them to believe. And the Apostle John said, you know, even though he'd done all those miracles, still they didn't believe. So we're going to look deeper into that. That it's the word in our hearts. The whole key to this is the word in our hearts by the Spirit reveals Jesus, as well as Jesus himself. Yes, he has appeared to some, even in this day and age, praise God. Jesus can still appear. He's sovereign. But that shouldn't be the means or the beginning of your faith. I mean, I know some, again, he appears and they get saved before they knew him. But we're talking now to overcomers. We're talking about the general principle where it's through the word that we get saved. And this is what I want to have a look at. What are the unsearchable riches of Christ? So if we look now in 1 Corinthians, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, let's have a look. 1 Corinthians. And we'll start in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Now, scriptures are clear that it is by the word of God that we get saved. It's by the scriptures, it's the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, and it's in the gospel that all we need for faith, all we need for salvation, when the gospel is preached with the signs following, that is all our faith needs to stand on. Now, you will always hear, as we mentioned just now, the exceptions where, you know, Jesus appeared to me and I got saved, or so and so, Jesus appeared to them, they got saved. Praise the Lord for that. God is sovereign. He knows each one of us. He knows the need. I've actually, not actually met them, but heard somebody speak, a man from China. Jesus appeared to him. Why? Well, because there were no Bibles. The scriptures weren't available. What we hold in our hands was not available. Man needs special revelation, and when God reveals himself in that way, that is his grace. He's not obliged to do so. Whatever saving revelation man receives It's a work of God's grace. He's not obliged to do so. So whatever the person needs. But generally speaking, and the apostles themselves who saw Jesus, they were eyewitnesses of crucifixion and resurrection. They preached the word. They taught from Scripture by the Spirit. Yes, they taught revelation, but that revelation, that teaching, had to add up to Jesus. Now, the word knowledge itself is a problem, especially the way we've come to understand the term knowledge. Dear friends, it's not intellectual knowledge. It's not knowledge for its own sake. Many a person will gather knowledge to themselves, and with every line, every precept, every concept of knowledge they gather to themselves, they increase not only their store of knowledge, but they increase their pride as well. It just is something in man that can't always handle that. Their motives, their attitude, a lot of people you'll see use knowledge as a weapon, they use knowledge as power. Friends, this is not what the gospel's about. This is not what the Lord is all about. That's completely contrary. And so we're going to look again tonight. This particular section of teachings will take some time, because I believe the Lord is speaking to hearts, especially to the overcomers, of these unsearchable riches, the relationship between the word in our heart. Because I believe God is going to reveal some great things to the overcomers. The way that God prepares the body of Christ to fulfill his end time purpose is by direct revelation. I believe we are being prepared for that. But our daily walk is through the word in our heart. Whether that's 10 minutes, 10 seconds, 10 hours, wherever you find yourself in your walk with the Lord, it's not the quantity, it's the quality. Whatever we're doing in the Lord, or that word, that prayer, that time that we spend, as long as it adds up to Jesus, as long as we come away from that having met with the Lord, not just an intellectual exercise, not just a theological situation, well, I know more in my head than I did when I started. We come away from that having met with the risen Christ. We come away with that changed people. Encounter with Christ is the word in our hearts ministered to us by the Holy Spirit. I remember reading once of a person who spent 50 years in the word and prayer. Spent his life in the word and prayer, and praise God for that, rightly so. That's great. Jesus appeared to him on a number of occasions. Each occasion that the Lord manifest, whatever happened as a result of that, far exceeded his entire experience in the word and prayer. All his labours in the word and prayer took him so far. But each manifestation left him with something deeper, something greater than before. But that's not a contradiction to what I'm saying. We have that now by faith. Otherwise, Jesus would have to appear to all of us, if that was the only way it was going to happen. We can have what these people had by the word in our heart through the Holy Spirit. It's how we approach. It's all about relationship, not about trying to gather to ourselves a store of knowledge. Yes. Now, please, don't get me wrong in that. Praise God for our theology. Praise God for the teaching over the years, the foundation that has been laid. But with that, I'm talking about our study of theology. You can open some of these books and make sure they're conservative, evangelical, and that they also present the supernatural. Because there are many that are anti-supernatural. And yet there they are with their, somehow they've got their theological knowledge. But the ones we want, conservative, evangelical, and who hold to the supernatural, as we look up those scriptures, as we look up those principles, as we're in prayer, seeking God, that will strengthen, that will result in a knowledge of Jesus himself and what he's done. Because it's our faith in him, it's our faith in what he accomplished at Calvary that is the sole basis, our faith in that is the sole basis of our redemption. It's great that we should know all these other things, Yes, we should. God is building within us a greater revelation of the church. There aren't many that know the understanding, the revelation of what the church is. They still think it's a building. They still think it's an organization. When you start saying that you are the church, and that everything we think, say, do and believe affects the body of Christ. Deeper revelation, that identification, that we're no longer accountants or gardeners or builders or the CEO of a multinational, but we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, set in the local assembly to function as that, whatever it would be, the hand, the foot, the eye, the gift, the miracle, the teacher, the healer, what the gift of healing, whatever it would be, that is what we are. We're sons, we're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, functioning in that position that God has given us in the local assembly. There aren't many teaching or seeing or preaching that. And that our message is not the church, but the kingdom of God. Repent because the church is being built. Repent and believe the gospel because revelation is being poured out. Repent and believe the gospel because the kingdom is at hand. That's what the message is. That's how he's working with the sons, with the overcomers. And so praise God, Paul came along with that revelation, but you've got to understand the context, which we're going to look at now, scriptures being opened. He began to teach grace, salvation, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to keep the law of Moses to be saved. It's grace. We're saved by grace. He would begin to teach the Gentiles. He never lost the burden to preach to his countrymen, the Jews. He never lost that until ultimately they blasphemed and God sent him. He still carried that burden. He still interceding for them. Wherever he could, the gospel was always to the Jew first and to the Gentile. Praise God. And so it's by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved. We shall be justified by faith in him, not in simply his words. Yes, faith in his words implies faith in him, but it's through faith in him we shall be saved. Faith in his blood, faith in what he did. We shall be saved, we shall be justified from all the things from which the law of Moses could never justify us. We could never be forgiven. But we are in Christ. Praise God. Now, under the old covenant, you see, that's not a contradiction to everything that Moses, that God said or did through Moses, because whatever God said or did through Moses, that was the revealed will of God at that time. So when the person came with their offering under the law of Moses, they were forgiven because they had faith in went through the revealed will of God. Why? Because that was the blood of the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. From God's side, he knew what was coming. But from the Israelite, they didn't know that. They obeyed the revealed will of God. And so why did Paul then say, well, we weren't forgiven under the law of Moses? Because the better sacrifice had come. He is now giving a new revelation. He was speaking in light of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had come, shed his blood. So now, salvation was through the historical fact of what Jesus had done. Under the Old Testament, it was yet future. So in other words, when we get new revelation, when new revelation comes, yesterday's revelation has served its purpose. And we're now committed to what God is showing us today. And so Paul suffered for that. They kind of changed the customs. They accused the Lord of that as well. Changed the law of Moses. Changed those customs. And they were persecuted to death for that. But that's the revelation. Praise God, our faith in the blood of Jesus. And these are the unsearchable riches of Christ. I know perhaps we take it for granted, we think we know it, but we shall be saved by grace. God is ridding the body of Christ of fear of them, of self, you know, selfish or attempts at salvation in our own strength. until we have come to the end of ourselves through all that God is doing in our trials, we're still under law. Yeah. Grace is not antinomianism. It doesn't mean just, oh well, sit back, get back in the world and enjoy God. No, that's complete opposite of grace. Grace has been given us to do God's will, but from the heart, from the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, writing God's law. The Holy Spirit is the lawgiver, and he's written that on these fleshly tables of the heart, praise God. We can walk in that now. We're not striving in the flesh, but because of the motive is different. It's still obedience, but because we now love the Lord, he dwells within us, we have and we keep his commandments. And we follow him because he's opened our eyes, he's given us that understanding, and we're now saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because, and we all love this bit, don't we? For we are his workmanship. He's the one saving us, he's the one working. Praise God, and he's ordained those good works which he's before ordained that we should walk in them. Praise God. So it's not like we don't have to work, we don't have to obey. That's not what grace is at all. But it's now the power of God. It's that unmerited favour. It's the divine enabling that is within us, through us. Praise God. It has all that we endeavour, our work, our study in the Word, our prayer, our overcoming, our lives changing, has to add up to Jesus, not our own works. And the way the Lord's presenting it to me, and I'm sure we can relate to this, it's not original to me by any means. Dear friends, we try so hard, we're a willing bunch, aren't we? And praise God, there should be that will. But is there the wanting? Is there the desire? Is the affection of the heart there? We can will it because we know it's in the Word, we will to do it, and I know I should. Yeah. I know I should. This is often a great crisis for charismatic believers. Mm. I know I should be doing it. I know what the Word says. I will. And there's something in me that says I want to. But when the actual trial, in the midst of that trial, somehow I'm not so sure. Mm. What's the problem? Could be fear, the wrong type of fear of God, a legalism. Dear friends, if the grace is there, if that living, active faith is in the heart, if the true revelation of Christ is in the heart, the wanting to will be there, not just the willing to. The desire, the affection. It'll be just a joy, a privilege, a pleasure. I go back to an experience I had recently where my knee got all swollen up. It's like the long-term thing. I'm believing for the healing restoration of cartilage there. But the thing just locked and clicked and got all swollen up. I couldn't walk. I could not walk. I earn my living as a gardener. So what do I do? Well, I couldn't walk. But you see, God is practical. God knows. And it just happened one day. It just happened to me. And I kept gardening. I couldn't walk, so I went gardening instead. And it's like, instead of trying, instead of struggling, you know, there was a battle. But I've done the other thing as well. I have struggled and failed. But this one, this is how I know the difference. The grace was there. It was grace faith. And the enemy, with his lies and his tricks and his cleverness to try and get me to compromise, those fiery darts just bounced off the shield of faith. I was resting in it. It wasn't a struggle. It wasn't trying. Well, I know the Word says this, so I ought to do this to act my faith. The Word was already in my heart. Yes. That's the difference. It was something I wanted to do. Something I knew God was faithful in. I'd met God in that. God had met through it. The Spirit. It's the fruit of faith at work. Not the self-effort trying to please God because I know what he says. And there is such a difference, friends. It was grace faith, not fear faith, or flesh faith, or legalistic faith. It's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And so it was God's grace, and within a few days, it went. Where before, I would be laid up for weeks, I carried on gardening through it. No pills, no nothing. Praise God. Just the gospels. Glory to God. It's God's word in the heart. God's word in the heart. And, you know, we've been there, haven't we? So God is delivering us from this legalism. It's good, yeah, we love him. We want to get it right. We want to obey. But allow the Holy Spirit to persuade. It's something we walk in. It's a desire of the heart. Now, don't think, well, if that isn't happening, then I don't have to. Because that there is the wrong attitude. We don't have to, but do we want to? When Jesus shed his blood on the cross, he purchased our healing. Now, that is not designed to condemn. That is designed to encourage. When our faith embraces all that he provided at Calvary, we can walk in that by his grace. But there is an order in which fear is working redemption in us. Do not be condemned because we're not there yet. Don't pick this up and try and run with it. These are the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know what an acronym is, don't you? And in this case, that grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense, freely bestowed upon you and I. We want it all now, don't we? We want the healing, the prosperity, all of it, all that we've been taught. But there is an order in which God, who is doing the building, builds his building. He's working in the heart. He's cleaning us up. He's removing a far worse manifestation of the curse. We want the body healed, but God wants that spirit cleansed. He wants the heart cleansed and renewed and made right with him. He wants to see himself on the inside, doesn't he? He wants to dwell in peace on the inside. There's nothing in our hearts or lives that would offend him, because he's a holy God. Okay, our faith in the blood is the first thing. How can a holy God dwell within a sinful person? By faith in the blood. God cannot arbitrarily forgive a sinner. So praise God, he's presented Jesus, that perfect substitute. And through our faith in his blood, we are now justified. He is able to dwell within us. And he certainly does, praise God, charismatic Christians who now speak in tongues, the Holy Spirit dwelling in power, the presence of the Holy Spirit dwells within us in power. Praise God, working within us, working and working within us. Do not be condemned. And let me put it this way, because we do believe in divine healing, but brothers and sisters, relax, enjoy the Lord, rest in him. Do not be condemned. If all your brothers and sisters around you just boom, 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 name it and they get healed, you know, the next day they're healed, they're manifested, they're raised up, and there you are with a serious affliction and yet no manifestation. What God is doing in them is one thing, it's still redemption. What he's doing in you may be much deeper. It's not criticizing them, but don't feel condemned by another person's testimony. Don't get condemned by another person's experience. At the right time, in the right order, your turn will come. Your day will come when you will be manifested. Praise God. That works with deliverance as well as with healing. Yes, and any preacher will eventually preach against sin, but it also works with a particular sin or moral situation that you're struggling with. Anything you are waiting on God for the manifestation, it will come. It's relationship. If your faith is genuine in the blood of Jesus, you are saved. I can't pronounce you saved. I don't know you, preacher. If you have received the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and you believe with all your heart that he died for you and rose again, you shall be saved. And whatever God is doing, whatever manifestation you lack at this present time, your day will come. Your time will come. That manifestation will be there. Work. It's his building. You are his building. We are his workmanship. And at the right time, he will do whatever he's got to do. Praise God. Yes, but what about? What? Man can ask, well, we can worry, yes, but that person over there is getting this, and what about this? And all those questions. Friends, we're looking at the wrong thing. When we look at Jesus, we don't have questions, we have the answer. We have the answer. If we could just rest on him. Dear friends, relax. You say, well, what do I do in the meantime? You say relax, but I'm in pain, I'm in agony, this, that, and the other as a situation. What am I to do in the meantime? Between you and the Lord. I know that's not a very helpful, practical answer, but you are not under condemnation. Now, I'm going to say this, and please, all you of the faith camp, do not misunderstand me. It is not in my heart ever to tell anyone to go to a doctor. It's not in my heart ever to tell anyone you cannot go to a doctor. I can't. God hasn't called me to say that. He called me that you shall be led forth with peace. What? Let the peace of God rule in your heart. If you are not in a place of faith to receive supernaturally the manifestation of your healing or the fact of your healing, don't mess about with this. But don't pretend. Don't change the word. Don't say, oh, I see God healed me through the doctors. Don't change the message. Be honest about where you are in the faith. Because Jesus died for you. He shed his blood and rose again. Died and rose again for you. And at the right time, you will be in faith for everything that he's provided, because that is the sole purpose, that is the very reason the Holy Spirit has been sent, to see to it that we, praise God, walk in our inheritance. Amen. Now let him do it at the right time. Hallelujah. There are things you're believing for, there are things you're not believing for. Okay, but just be honest about that. It's not about the manifestation, it's about your heart, it's about your faith. Where we are in the faith. And we're going to have to just face some things. That after 30 years, there's still unbelief in my heart. I'm not in that place. There are things more important in my heart you're dealing with. Because it wouldn't glorify you to manifest at the moment. You're still dealing with A, B, C, X, Y, Z. This is what you're highlighting. And at the right time, I'll be in faith. Because I'm yielding my life over to the Holy Spirit. He is sovereign, he is in control, and he is the one producing that wonderful fruit in my life. Faith has many, many aspects. Many aspects. It's an infinite thing, because why? Because it's a fruit of the Spirit. Because he, God, the Holy Spirit, is eternal and infinite. I know there are 66 books and there's a beginning and an end because it's written down, ink on paper. But when we start to get that into our hearts, the analogy I use is like any seed. You know, an acorn. Does an acorn look like an oak tree? And yet you've got all the little thing to make an oak tree and to produce other little acorns after a while. And so it is with the word. That word may just appear to be whatever it is in our heart. But when the Holy Spirit has planted that seed, you wait, you give that time to see what that produces in the end. There's no relation to the 10 minutes or the 10 hours or the 10 seconds you spend each day meditating and receiving and meeting with Jesus that day. And then over the years, each day that we meet with Jesus, you look back over the years and see where we... You wait and see what God does with that in the days to come. But it's a daily walk, and nothing monumental perhaps is happening. Not boasting in much. Nothing there happening. Because why? We're learning that fruit is not born in doing, but in dying. Because that's when the seed... I think I've said this before, but I've rooted out a little oak tree. It wasn't planted, it was self-seeded, so it counts as a weed. The person didn't want it there. But I've dug it up, and you've got the acorn sort of dying death. It was feeding the seedling while it was growing. You've still got the acorn on it. The root and the branch, the stem and the few leaves coming on it. But you'll see that it's done its job. That acorn is dying. But look at the life that has come from it. And so it is with God's word in our hearts. So it is with what he's doing. It takes time. There's a process involved. Praise God for one of those instant manifestations. We can expect it. Because we're dealing with the prayer of faith. Praise God for that. There are gifts as well. Gifts of healing. Gifts of miracles. But God is training us through his word in our heart by the Spirit. And friends, what he's working, yes, we believe that all these things are in the atonement. But holiness is in the atonement. Everybody wants their healings in the atonement. We want our deliverance because we're being afflicted. And I'm sure we love the Lord. But let's face this first of all. Holiness is in the atonement. Obedience is in the atonement. The purpose of the atonement was what? To cover our sin before a holy God. And what is the purpose of faith? Faith is to appropriate all that is in the atonement. Faith is to appropriate the atonement. We're not born again. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not born again by the atonement. Because the atonement has been given, but many will end up in hell. The atonement is the moral ground for our faith. We are born again by faith. We're born again by the operation of the Holy Spirit. These are the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's not religion, but what Jesus did for us at the cross, we can now appropriate by faith, and it's that faith which causes us to be born again. Now, if we've got born-again faith, if we've got faith to be born again, comes to receive the Holy Spirit, we've got God's order, the holiness, the redemption, the repentance, the walk before God, the relationship, rest in him. And you will know the day that he wants faith from you for healing. You will know, because that faith will be there, the healing will be there. And no matter how severe or how long the trial, you'll endure. Because the grace is there, and you know that one day soon, the manifestation will occur. This is how God is doing it. It's God who's saving us. It's Jesus who's saving us. We're not trying to save ourselves. Even when we talk about holiness, deliverance and obedience. These are grace. These are works of grace. Even our obedience, even our walk of holiness. The desire is there because we love the Lord. Yet it's that battle, isn't it? The spirit versus the flesh. And so God has made provision. Let's begin to look, praise God. I'm not anti anything, not at all. Praise God. But what I'm saying is relax, rest. I do know one thing, and I hope this isn't too controversial, but, you know, bear with me while I say this. I've also seen where the misunderstanding of healing has actually done more harm than good. Yeah. It's actually caused more hurt than the healing it's supposed to produce. So I have to ask these questions. No, praise God, I'm not against healing. I'm not against any of it. How can I be? Because it's in the word. It's in the atonement. My Lord and Saviour gave his life, his blood, for me to experience it. So I receive it by faith in Jesus' name, but he's also placed within me, praise God, his wonderful, that Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit. And he's the one ministering it to me. This is a work of grace. It doesn't glorify God, you know, when we struggle in our own strength and fail. Oh, friends, what is the Lord saying? What is God saying? Praise God. Well, receive it in the right order. You're not condemned because for a season you have to go to man. That term, the arm of the flesh, it means a man as against God, who is the Spirit, praise God. The arm of the Spirit, if you like, is God's arm. Well, the arm of the Lord has been revealed, praise God. And the Holy Spirit is constantly revealing the arm of the Lord to you and I. And one day, the faith is going to be there as we spend that time in his presence. We won't need the arm of the flesh anymore, because we have the arm of the Lord, who was Spirit, who took on a body of flesh for the purpose of revealing his power, his love, his grace to you and I. We can relate to him because he actually became a human being. Glory to the living God. And that sinless blood covers us now as we believe, and God in his right time and right way will do all that he has promised. Every promise is going to be fulfilled to the overcomer. Healing, the prosperity, the deliverance, you name it. There are 7,000. So spend your time looking at those promises, because that is God's provision for our redemption. And the purpose of Scripture is to reveal our need and God's provision for that need. Many miss it because they really don't understand, you know, except theologically. They haven't got that personal understanding that as the sword of the Spirit exposes our inner need, and God's grace exposes as well, reveals God's need. Wonderful, isn't it? Well, praise God, that took a totally different turn from what I was, praise God, expecting. But there's more to it, isn't there? So I did say we were going to look in Scripture. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll start with verse 18. The great riches. And here is the man who had such great more revelation than perhaps everyone else in the New Testament put together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the message of the cross, that's what it's all about, who knew so much more than any other, as a Pharisee, put all that to one side. He didn't try to argue people into the faith with as much as he knew. Yes, he presented a really coherent theology and arguments. He did present it, but it was all about the message of the cross. It's all about Jesus Christ and him crucified. He never gave doctrine apart from its direct relation to the person, to the work and person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that bears on our experience. And the Lord in our lives is bringing that together, the revelation of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that bears, how the Holy Spirit will work that out in our lives. Praise God. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power. Lord, I want your power in my life. I want your power in my life. It's the cross. It's the message of the cross. It's the revelation, the logos of the cross. The Holy Spirit can reveal the cross to us. Men, a wooden thing, they can stand in front of it and not know what they are seeing. Our Lord died on the thing. It takes the Holy Spirit. The disciples didn't understand it. But you look at the difference between what you see of them in the Gospels and how the Holy Spirit got hold of them in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals these things and then anoints. The apostles were eyewitnesses in resurrection and they still didn't understand it. Jesus didn't condemn them, he rebuked them, but he didn't. He then said, wait, witness of the Father. And boy, when the Holy Spirit came, God, he was with them. I am with you in you. The Holy Spirit, when he came in power, the Holy Spirit took hold of those men, gave them the understanding, and what they once ran from, what they stumbled over just a few months before, they then preached by the power of the Holy Spirit, and thousands got saved. The total transformation of those men's lives and their ministry by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. They continued the ministry of Jesus by the Holy Spirit in and through them. And yet they sat under Jesus' personal ministry. They were instructed by him in the scriptures. But it took that, didn't it? It took the work of the Holy Spirit to open their eyes and give them this power. So one of the first things God will do when we're sincere about asking him for more of his power is he'll show us the cross. Praise God. Why? For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And God is bringing us to an end of ourselves. You may say to me, well, I've never been well educated. I've never been to college. That doesn't apply to me. Well, it applies to every human being to some extent. It applies especially, if you look at the context of what Paul is dealing with, the learned, the well-educated. But we all, as human beings, would rather rely on our own wisdom and our own strength before we turn loose and let God have his way. So in a sense, in the context in which we're believing, that applies to all of us. Our wisdom, our prudence, our strength, we have got to come to our wits' end. We've got to come to a complete end of our resources. We'll try and save ourselves. Any thought of save is blasphemous against the cross. Now that's strong language, but no stronger than the case calls for. God loves us, he knows where we're at. And so in his love, he's rescuing us from ourselves, even our own attempts to save ourselves. We cannot in any way add to what Jesus did at the cross. Either it's faith in his blood, and that alone, or it's faith in something else. Now, scriptures present faith in his blood alone. If it's faith in something else, then that's what God is dealing with. That's the breaking. There's where God is trying to expose that unbelief, that fear. Praise God. Where is the wise? Now, he's talking here now about the well-educated, you know, the prude, the pompous. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Man in his wisdom could never reason up to God. He could in a judicial sense, but his mind, his reason has fallen, has been darkened against God. He cannot reach God by his own efforts because of what sin has done in his heart, mind, and spirit and soul. But there's nothing in man that could ever touch God, that could ever please God by his own wisdom or strength. That's why you've got libraries full of philosophy and other isms. That's the world's wisdom. Does any of that save a man? Well, praise God. And he goes on to say that it's the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The word of God come through an earthen vessel by the Holy Spirit is foolishness to man. Only God could have thought of that. And what is the message? The point is, it's the message of the cross. And that anointed message, touching the heart of man, will save those who believe. Won't save those who refuse to believe, but it will save those who do believe. Because Jews request a sign, they desire a sign. Greeks seek after wisdom. Don't they? They want those signs, they want those miracles. And the Greeks want something that they can intellectually evaluate and decide whether, yes, that makes sense, I can believe that because it's logical. Logic is a Greek word. But we preach Christ crucified. There he is. Paul didn't fall for any of that. There were great signs. There were great signs attending Paul's ministry. But he didn't fall into the trap of trying to use those to prove Jesus Christ, him crucified and resurrected. He had great wisdom, great knowledge, but he didn't fall into the trap of trying to argue people into the faith through philosophy. He preached Christ crucified and resurrected, and God honoured that through those great signs and wonders in his ministry. And he didn't always get those, by the way, if you look in the book of Acts. He preached the cross and resurrection, and some just laughed into scorn. But he knew, didn't he? He knew anyway. And because this is what he said, preach Christ crucified to the Jews, but he knew that in his audience there were some who were receiving, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. There were those before who rejected, those before him who rejected, there were those who received, and to them the gospel was that good news, the power and the wisdom of God unto salvation. That's why he said in Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, because in it is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. Praise God, the righteousness of God. All we need to know to be right with God is in the gospel. All faith needs is in the word. And as we believe that, God justifies us. How do you explain it? God justifies me. I don't have to apologize for God. I don't have to apologize for the implications of heaven and hell and this whole thing of calling and those who do and those who don't. I don't have to try and explain the existence of God. I don't have to do any of that. He is the one who will speak of himself through me as I believe in the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I can rest in him, not complacent. It's a cost, isn't it, this walk? Those who have been saved more than 6 months will know about a thing called trials, will know how real the cross is, but as we yield to the Spirit, he works this within us. Our lives are going, if they're not already, and most are, God bless you, brethren, the privilege of walking with you, but if they're not, God is so working with us that our lives are characterized by his power, his wisdom, as he works the cross. In our life, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in and through me. Galatians 2:20. That's what he's working. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. To those who are called, Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God. Christ the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. He's not saying there that, you know, God has any of those things. But when you look at the cross, that is the weakness, isn't it? That is the foolishness. God in flesh, hanging on a cross. How can the Messiah save by hanging on a cross? How can we experience salvation by being crucified with Christ? Well, that's the way God has set it up. That is his power, that is his wisdom. Because when we're weak, praise God, God's strength is perfected. It's foolishness to man. Man imputes, what he's saying there is that man misinterprets. Man imputes weakness and foolishness when he looks at the cross. That's the whole point. But to those who have been saved, God opens their eyes and we see salvation. We see the very wisdom and power of God to work salvation, to work redemption through that, through a blood-stained cross, through blood being poured out on a cross is how we get saved, through our faith in that. That's why it's grace, because that's where our faith is. And who can have faith in that except those that God has opened the eyes? Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. For you see your calling, brethren, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Do you feel weak, despised, foolish? Are you one of those? Are you base? Are you nothing? Are you rejected and despised? Are you one of those people that just can't fit in anywhere in the world? Are you one of those people that nobody goes to for an opinion? Oh, praise the living God. God has chosen you, and he's going to speak and work and live through you in such a way that all the professors and all the other isms all around you are going to be put to silence when they see his wisdom and his power working through you. It hasn't happened yet, maybe, because we're still being trained, we're still learning the message ourselves. But there will come a time when oil, it's failing now, it's bursting at the seams now, and at the right time the sons of God will arise, and they will see, and they will be put to shame, they will be put to silence. Man does not have the answer, and it's becoming evident now, but he won't admit it. But there's going to come a time, friends, sons of God will arise, hospitals will be emptied, pubs, clubs will be emptied, churches will be filled. Oh, praise God. Glory to God. Because they're going to see, this is the answer. God in his grace is going to open the eyes. And it'll take tribulation, won't it? They'll have to go through all kinds of fire. But dear friends, the kingdoms of our God, the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And he shall rule and reign forever. Humanism, that tells me, humanism has come to an end. Man has come to an end. And now God is getting ready to completely take over in our lives and in the world view. Praise the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, can anyone give me a hallelujah? Because God is on the throne and he is preparing now to reveal that. What he's done in a corner, what he's done in these rooms, hidden as it were, we're soon to be anointed, sent forth and proclaim upon the housetops. But we've got to get that message. We've got to understand that it's the cross is the power of God, not our own strength, not a feeling. Oh, I feel anointed, I feel this, feel that, I think this and I think that. God will reveal it. God will work it. Mm. Praise God. And it's the cross. It's always when we've come to an end of ourselves, Jesus will take over. Mm. Dear friends, are we going through trials this evening that just we cannot understand? Mm. Are we in pain? Are we afflicted? Are we going through things that are seemingly breaking, crushing? God has forgotten us. Have I so badly sinned that God has now forsaken? Are we feeling, are we experiencing these things? Then praise God, like Habakkuk, then I will rejoice and rejoice in the Lord. Oh, praise God, we're about to be raised up. We're coming to an end of ourselves is what it is. And we're just going to have to surrender. Lord, it isn't in me anymore. This is it. Lord, it's over to you. And in time, you'll see in time, God will raise you up. All things are working together for good. To those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Praise God. And he will raise us up. And you'll see, you'll know the answer. If you don't get the answer now, you'll get it in eternity. Praise God. The cross, the wisdom and the power of God, these unsearchable riches in Christ revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Thank you, brethren, for listening. Thank you for your fellowship. It's so appreciated. And praise God, I trust God touching the hearts, and will those that are being crucified will be raised up with him. Praise God, to give him the glory. No flesh will glory in his presence. It's not about our wisdom, not about our so-called strength. It's about what God is revealing to the saints in this end time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God bless you, brethren.